The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We are not just gathered here to talk about relationship. We are gathered here to enthrone the Lord and His instructions in our lives. Yeah, we are gathered here to say to the Lord, we want to do it your way. We want you to rule us. We want you to lead us. We don't want to walk in our own wisdom. That's why we are here. Only you. We dictate how we run life. Only you will dictate how we run relationship. It's not what Facebook has said. It's not what relationship experts have said. It is only what you have said. Onye medio, Jesus. Onye medio, Jesus. Onye medio, sosogi. Asim onye medio. Ese Jesus onye mere. Jesus onye mere. We enthrone you, Father. Let answers be given. Let wisdom be found. And let hearts be receptive. In the name of Jesus, let confusions be cleared, and we will set our hearts aright to follow and obey you. In Jesus' name. If you're here, you're trusting the Lord for any form of intervention in your relationship, the Lord will bring it. You're trusting the Lord to get into a relationship, to get married very soon, the Lord will give you what you want. You're trusting the Lord to fix any relationship around your life, the Lord will bring it and make it come to pass. In the name of Jesus, let your heart desires be yours by the end of this meeting. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Are you guys ready? So before I start teaching, I'll ask you to stand up. Stand up. If you don't sit down yet, I need to sit down. So stand up first. I ask you to walk around, meet three persons that you don't know from Adam. You've never met before. Introduce yourself to them, and they will introduce yourself to you. Three persons very quickly. Use your head. So come on quickly, just meet someone. Amen. Or maybe people that you know, but you've always wanted to meet them and talk to them, but you didn't know how to do it. So just pretend as though pastor said you should meet somebody. God bless you. You might be seated. Hallelujah. We have plenty of things to talk about today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's be seated. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? So, it's Singles Connect March edition. Glory to God. So, have you been getting blessed so far? The hot seat was really hot. Amen. But I know you picked one or two things. Amen. Amen. So just be seated. Glory to God. So I will teach this evening or this afternoon, okay, on some very important stuff. So there are many things I want to talk about. Many things. However, I don't know if time will permit me to do all of that. Okay, so let's be seated. Let's have order. Let's have order, okay? If you're outside, you walk inside and you sit down. Grab a seat and sit down. I'd like to start by letting us know. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let me ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Touch the person. Say, neighbor. Will you help me receive from God in this meeting? Or will you be a distraction to me? Okay. So, God instructs us for our own benefit. I said again. I said it on Thursday. God instructs us. You see, there are instructions in the Bible for different areas of our lives. You see, the Bible, of course, is a book that is basically about Christ, His death and His resurrection, right? But then in the Bible, you find instructions for living. So it shows you, for instance, look at what the Bible teaches. It teaches who Christ is, what He has done on the cross, right? And what we have become as a result of what He has done on the cross. And then how we must live as a result of what He has done. Do you get the point? So the standpoint, the foundation is what He has done. But then in the Bible, we also find how we must live and conduct ourselves because of what Christ has done. So in the Bible, you find instructions. And I want to start by saying that God instructs us for our own benefit. The instructions of God, I said it on Thursday, is not actually to benefit Him. When God says, don't go there, He's not saying, if you go there, I will stop being God. Or if you go there, something bad may happen to me. When He instructs you, always remember that He instructs you for your own good. Are you following me? For your own good. You see, the Lord says, start jumping up. He's not saying, jump up so that I will remain God. Or jump up so that I will become fat. He's saying, jump up for your own good. Do you get the point? So whenever you hear the Bible says, don't do this, or before you begin to argue, is it easy? Is it hard? Bear in mind that God brings those instructions for your good and not to hurt you. And not to hurt you. And I said something, you know, on Thursday. You see, God does not advise. God instructs. God commands. God does not suggest things. He doesn't suggest. Some of us, when we preach in church, he said, pastor suggested that. Look, I don't suggest things to you. I speak as an oracle of God. As an oracle, I instruct you. So God's instructions are not for negotiation. When God wants to say, go and preach, He doesn't say, will you preach? He doesn't say, I advise, in my own opinion, that you should preach. He's commanding you. And that's how you must treat everything God says to you. When God says move, don't treat it like an advice, treat it like an instruction. But treat it like a command. Paul said to Timothy, he said, these things command and teach. So in teaching, there is command. Are you following me? You know, I see people, a lot of people in church, they want to obey God to the degree where they enjoy it. They want to obey God to the degree that it is easy for them. They are not yet ready to obey God. If you are going to obey God, you should be ready to obey Him even when it is not favorable. And I can tell you, sometimes it won't be. Are you following me? Come on, are you still in church? Very hard. You must be ready to obey God. You know, one of the decisions you're going to make this evening is, Father, I want to do your will. I want to do it your way. It's either God's way or nowhere at all. This is 1 Timothy 4 verse 11. Put up King James. We always start with King James. So we'll come here. It's told Timothy, these things command and teach. King NLT says, these things insist on. So you see, he said, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. So the things we teach you, they are not for, will you do it? Can you do it? Is it okay for you? He said, insist. And every man of God, everybody has a calling, must learn how to insist on God's instructions. You know, you don't pet people with Bible. Once you are sure you're not speaking your own words, you're speaking God's word, insist. Hallelujah. So that's when I teach. I'm a spiritual person. So when I teach, I look at people and say, I know people don't like some things I'm saying. Someone came to this church one day, in the case you're like that, yeah, well, I have no apologies. Someone came here one day and I was talking about homosexuality, talking about gay, okay, and how it is nothing scriptural. How many of you know that? So the person got angry, said he's never going to come back here again, that we are against gay people. I said, what is wrong with you people? I'm not going to paint it. God doesn't hate gay. gay people. But God hates being gay. I get the point. And if you have a problem with that, it is not, that's why when you hear the instructions of God and they are hard for you, I understand it can be. There's something that, have you ever had a message and you felt attacked? Whenever it happens to you, it's not time to start arguing with the message or the preacher. It's time to adjust. Listen to me. Never expect the word of God to change because of you. Change because of the word. Should I say it again? Never expect that we're going to bend our standards and our instructions because of you. Mm-mm. Bend to the word. Why is this guy angry this evening? Because when we talk about relationships, there are things that we begin to talk about. We live in a generation that a lot of things have been mixed up. Okay, the internet is teaching us, books are teaching us, atheists are teaching us, even people who have not been able to sustain one relationship in their life, they are teaching us how to do it. And when you now want to do it God's way, you now look odd. And when we begin to insist on do it this way, they are feeling like you guys like saying things that people cannot do. Listen, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33, talking about instructions. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, hear instructions and be wise and refuse it not. When you receive instructions, you are walking in wisdom. When you receive instructions and live by them, you are walking in wisdom. In Proverbs 19 verse 20, he said, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So in hearing counsel and receiving instructions, you are being wise. Are you following me? You are being wise. You are being wise. You are being wise. And so there are instructions for every area of our life. We must follow them. This evening or this afternoon, I'll be teaching on what I don't know what title, but let me just give you the simple temptation on 23 mistakes that singles make. They're supposed to reach 30, but I said let me pity people today. We have another edition. How many mistakes? 23. You must fall into one. Must. Amen. Or let me rephrase it. 23 mistakes that Christian singles make. Because what I'm going to say now is not going to be the best thing that everybody accepts. But Christian singles. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? And if you are close to me, you should know when I instruct as a believer, I'm very hard. So I'll start with number one. Are you ready? The first mistake I'll talk about today. One is ignoring scriptural counsels when it has to do with relationships. And I'm talking about authority, there are basic scriptural counsels and instructions as it pertains your relationship. Your relationship. Basic instructions. And you cannot ignore them and do well. Remember I said, the things that God tells us to do, He tells us for our good. Amen. And I give you some examples of those instructions, for instance, some of those counsels you find. For instance, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, it tells us about not being unequally yoked. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This, we talk about it every year. People fall victim to it every year. You cannot. You know, this verse is not even talking about marriage. It's talking about everyday relationship, everyday friendship. And he said, you cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He said, what? So, the believer should not be yoked with an unbeliever. If a believer is yoked with an unbeliever, what is it called? An unequal yoking. Because the both of them are not the same. Look at what he calls the believer. He said, what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? So, let me ask you, who is the believer? Righteousness. Who is the unbeliever? Talk back to me. According to the Bible, who is the believer? Righteousness. What's the unbeliever? Unrighteousness. Let's read it again. And what communion had what? Light with. So who is the believer? Who is the unbeliever? Is it too hard to understand? Continue. And what accord had what? Christ with. So who is the believer? Who is the unbeliever? Belial. What part had he that believed with what? An infidel. Who is the unbeliever?
An infidel. It's not me saying, the Bible is saying. And what agreement had the temple of God with? So who is the believer? Who is the unbeliever? Idol. You know, sometimes we say, you guys are being harsh. Now I'm quoting Bible. In case you think, I don't know what I'm saying. He said, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What verse is that? Verse what? Remove that in under. Remove that stuff coming up under. Okay, that's the time for service and order to announce all of that. So verse 17, he said, now look at the instruction. He says, wherefore, come out from among them. Among which people? And be ye separate. In fact, he said, said the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. So he said, don't believe it's an unclean thing. Verse 18, and I'll stop there. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, say the Lord God Almighty. So you find out that there is the believer and the unbeliever. You cannot claim to be a believer, and you are dating an unbeliever. It is not scripturally right. There are basic scriptural instructions. There is no way you want to paint it. There is no risk. There is no way you want to twist it. What if the church people are not good people? There is no way you want to twist it. You cannot be wiser than the wisdom of God. But I've heard it from me a lot and a lot. You can't be wiser than God's wisdom. He said, do not be unequally yoked. Straightforward instructions. In fact, if you check the Old Testament will tell the Israelites they should never marry a Gentile. Do you remember that? Never. The New Testament application of it is don't date or marry someone who is not saved. Hallelujah. If I let me take it a step further. Another instruction we find in the Bible, for instance, okay, 1 Corinthians 5 verse 9. You should not also date, slip out of ignoring scriptural instructions, or marry somebody that is a believer, but is unserious with the spiritual life. I didn't say. The Bible said. Look at this. He said, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Okay? Now, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then Moses needs to go out of the world. He said, I'm not just talking about unbelievers. See verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be or covetous. So what he's saying, he's not saying if somebody makes a mistake, stay away from him. No. If a believer begins to live his life like an unbeliever, begins to do his thing like an unbeliever and doesn't care, he's not even bothered about spiritual growth, you just know he's a believer because he said, Jesus, come into my heart. But he's not living, he's not growing spiritually, he's not searching the spiritual life. He didn't say don't marry him, he said don't company with him. So somebody in the Bible said you should not company with. It's in our marriage. Are you following me? Is this where we get people begin to fight? You better settle in your head that you will do relationship God's way. Scriptural instructions are basic. Have nothing to do with an unbeliever, people that are unsaved, or they are saved but they're not serious. They're not serious. You see someone that is born again, he doesn't care about spiritual growth. He's not the church type. But he's a believer. He's not the church type. He's not the prayer type. He's not the Bible study type. He's not the speaking in tongues type. So what is he? What is he? And you're even making excuse for him. Pastor, everybody must not be speaking in tongues now. What are you saying? And if you are here, you are not yet serious with your spiritual life. This is the day to start. And there is no better way to start than to say, Father, I know you saved me. I want to be serious with you. The Bible said that he died, that they that live should no longer live for themselves, but for him that died for them. How do you start? Start by joining the church and being serious there. Being serious there. Start growing. Have a prayer life. Start growing spiritually. Because, you know, sometimes, let me warn you. Sometimes I see some people, you know, you, your spirit, soul, and body. You know you're an unserious person. And you are unserious to spiritual life, and you have mind to be checking someone that's not just serious with spiritual life, that has a call of God upon his or her life. Do you know what you're about to do? You're about to endanger your life and the person's life too. Are you getting me? Don't marry an anointing you cannot contain. I'm telling you, Somebody is serious, growing spiritually, has a calling. You are not serious. You want to get married the person so that you can stifle the fire. But the one you don't have, the one you have. What are you saying? Why are you like this? Stay away from it. If you're not going to be serious, just stay away.
I love you too. Amen.
You must. You see, how do you start being serious to spiritual life? In fact, not because of marriage.
Mm-mm.
But you need to have a spiritual life. Shouldn't you have a spiritual life? Shouldn't you have a prayer life? Shouldn't you be serious with God? What is there to live for if not to live for God? And you find someone that is living for God, you don't want to be serious against, I need a prayerful girl. And you are what? May you never find a prayerful girl. Never. Because your prayerlessness is going to mess the girl up. So I need somebody, a woman that is prayerful, that will be covering me up. Take your Christian life seriously or leave spiritual people alone. And you, the spiritual sister, the spiritual brother, what is the attraction? What is that in attracting you in someone that is not serious? Do you want to achieve? What's your vision in life? You see, okay, let me give other examples of spiritual instructions. There are many. Every instruction you find in the Bible is to be obeyed. For instance, they are asking questions about sexual purity here. The Bible said very clearly, Galatians 5 verse 19, he said the works of the flesh, he mentions fornication. Don't you all know that fornication is a work of the flesh? Now, I'm not saying this now to condemn someone that is making a mistake or is struggling. If you're struggling, having something you're struggling with, begin to work on it. Okay? God will help you out of it. God does not condemn you, but he will not condone the sin. I hope you understand. He's going to help you out of it. Amen? You can begin to work on it. You can talk to people. You can begin to work on it. But to now relax, okay, and you are doing a relationship, and both of you think that it is normal to be having sex, and both of you are even quarreling. Why did I want to touch you? And he said, I should not touch you. Two believers. Do you even care about what the word of God says? He said, I wanted to touch you. And if this is it, then that is it. You know, I've counseled some people, and after they finished talking to me, I asked them one question. The boy and the girl. I said, do you care about obeying God? Because that's where we have to start from. Do you care? You know, there's something that two people are in a relationship, and then they make mistake, and then they go talk to their pastor. Pastor now flog them, discipline them, and all that. Help them get it right. Than that two people are wallowing. You know, it must wallow. That wallowing in sin. He said, I love him and he loves him. You know, the Bible, you know, the world rather keeps reducing the standard. But God's word cannot be reduced. Those days, don't touch any woman. They've reduced it to once both of you love each other and both of you are in love. You cannot tamper with God's word. It is God's word. If you are guilty of what I'm saying, don't argue with what I'm saying. Tell God to help you. Because at different times in this meeting, the word of God will hit you. Are you following me? It's going to hit you. So if you say, sir, what if I'm already guilty of this? This is why you're in this meeting. Say, Father, you're going to help. We're going to pray after this teaching. No. God is going to help you because if you can't just live life. If you're struggling, let's know it is a struggle. How do you know it's a struggle? Let's see that you are making an effort to stop it. Are you getting the point? Yes, you're making an effort. You can't just ignore everything the Bible says that you're just living like that. 1 Corinthians 6, I think, verse 18. It says, flee fornication. If you are close to me, you will know that I don't take these things I'm saying lightly. However, I will not crucify you. I will discipline you. And the reason for the discipline is so that you can get it right and begin to work on it. Are you getting me, friends? So I'm not saying if you're like this, your own is finished. No. God wants to help you. That is, if you want to be helped. Flee fornication. Touch your neighbor. Say, flee fornication. See. Touch the person. Why should you flee fornication? See verse 19. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. He said, because your body is God's temple, flee fornication. And you see, they were asking questions about sexual purity. Let me tell you how to maintain sexual purity in your relationship. Pay attention. It's very simple. You know, the Bible is so clear. So clear. The Bible said flee fornication. You are saying, I will stand my ground. If the emotion rises, we'll fight it together. We're a team. You're a team. And you can't even represent your team by wearing their jersey to this place. You are ashamed. Can you see any man you jersey around? It's only one person. Out of all the people that used to make noise in this church, nobody. They're not even proud of where they belong. Amen. We're going to have a group picture of Barcelona jersey pictures after this meeting. Amen. Sorry. So, it says to flee. Flee means you don't create the atmosphere and now begin to ask the Lord to help you out of it. You don't carry yourself into the kitchen where there is meat. Your hand is now inside the pot to steal it. You're saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, come and help me out of those pots. Let me not steal it. What are you doing? What took you into the kitchen in the first place? Let me tell this to you. There is a Christian way to do relationship. A boy and a girl are dating. They are in love. And what they're doing, they're believers. Every night, the girl will pack her bag and go to the boy's house to go and sleep. And now we're running up and down with singlet. He get real phone. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? If you want to do it right, you do it right. And after you now say, I don't know how it happened between us. You don't know. Now, wow. Fear God. Now, how can you say you don't know? You know. And there is no way the day you were packing your bag to go there, the Holy Ghost was telling you, don't go. Tell pastor. They say, tell pastor. That one will say, I should not go. Now, if you already know pastor will say you should not go, don't you think that's the same thing God will tell you? Then you now go there and be cooking the phone. They're cooking. You see, there is a Christian way. Don't get into the place and they are not trusting the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we will not do it in Jesus' name. We are not going to fall in Jesus. After all those things, let me tell you, I'm going to talk to you as mature people. I believe you have sense. Okay? You have sense. The reason believers indulge in sexual sin is not because they are weak. Everybody has fallen victim of this. Because I'm not preaching this because all the ministers sitting here are perfect. It's not true. I'm just saying. Everybody that has fallen into sexual sin, there is one thing in top of the list is carelessness. I get to the point. It's not because you are loose or weak. Osimiri. Do you understand? River cannot drown person with no sin leg. It's you, you see that carry yourself. And I'm saying this so that you change. And you that is even the guy. Every day I say, come to my house now. Come, I'm alone. I'm alone. Come. Don't you trust me? So you think I'm calling you to sleep with you. Why are you calling her? Amen. Oh. Should I continue? Why are you calling her? I call her to pray together. Now, I'm not saying everything I'm saying now is actually easy. Because actually, if you've ever been in a relationship before, you will know that you want to go. Even after this message now. That's the truth. So I'm not saying it's just, don't you want to go? Yeah, I don't want to ask, don't you want to go? No, seriously. Because, you know, you want to go actually. And it is right to want to go. Because if you're dating someone you intend to marry and you don't have any kind of attraction towards the person, you people are, you should not get married. It's not Papobi and Mamobi people are about to do in the marriage. So that should be an attraction. It's healthy. Just that you must not follow the direction of that attraction. You must not do everything attraction says you should do. And that's why, if I let me encourage you, if you start dating, you're a believer, you start dating a believer, after this meeting, I'll say two things. I'm saying come some of them. Both of you should hold a conversation. Say, guy, I don't like how this thing has been going. And you should not like it too, because you're a believer too. So how do we reduce and stop this thing? I get the point. Holy God, if a person says, what's there? We love ourselves. You know one thing. That person doesn't really care about obeying God. That person is not your husband or your wife. I can be very frank. You say, sir, you're so blunt, but it's true. Someone doesn't really care. They say, what is there? We love ourselves. Okay, should I get it from outside? Get it from outside. You a womanizer at that. Or a manizer. Okay, see. Hold the conversation. So how do we get this thing right? Babe, whatever you guys call yourself. So how do we get it right? We can decide, we now begin to say things like, let us stop all these visits. If we are going to see, because I know I always want to see, I always want to see me, can we choose a more public space? Can we minimize the way we see inside enclosed doors? Can we decide to become accountable to pastor? So that whenever we, if there is something we do, I'm going to get that, but I'm going to do it for many of the ministers and leaders in this church. Okay, there will be an accountability form that you have to fill every month, a sexual purity accountability form. Are you getting me? Do you want to do things God's way? Very well. The times have changed. Let's continue. So I will do things God's way. You cannot ignore. You know the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It says abstain. Pay attention. Somebody asked me, can I kiss in my relationship? You know I'm saying in the first point, ignore this without counsel. The Bible says, no, I'll rush on that one, but this is a very important point. Can I kiss? This Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance. It didn't say abstain from evil. Appearance of evil. The thing resemble evil. So, if both of you kiss in your relationship, after kissing, what follows? After you kiss, they say, glory, shandaraba, daraba. What are you doing? After enough kiss, they say, glory, thank you, Father. The giver of kisses. The Lord. See, I don't preach to young people. I don't teach young people on relationship as though they are not in this world. I'll be very practical. I know everybody, if not 80% of people here, have had one or two mistakes and all that. That's why I'm doing this teaching. Don't look at me like that. I know. Now, I'm saying this to say that today, can start a new story. And it starts from decision. I'm going to do things God's way. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? If you're very close to me as a person, you know, if I counsel you on relationship, I counsel you both from the word and from my experiences. Okay, I'm not standing here because this guy is just so perfect. A holy man of God. No. We all came from somewhere. Do not come from somewhere. Hallelujah. So I don't counsel you because, this guy is just so perfect. Some of us, I counsel you, if you're close to me, I tell you stories. Amen? Because you must learn that you have to decide how to do things God's way. There's a story I wanted to tell, but let's continue because of our time. Well, you like stories, Sha. So when I'll be closing, I'll start telling the story so that you like it. So that's the first mistake. Second mistake singles make, not developing yourself. Not just spiritual, not just emotionally, in every area of life. You see, your single period, your period of singleness or singlehood, whatever you use, is a time to develop yourself. Develop yourself spiritually, develop yourself emotionally, develop yourself intellectually. I tell people, train your head, train your hand, train your heart. Should I say it again? Train your head. Train your head talks about it being intellectual. Read your books. Study materials. What? How many books? You know, sometimes I tell you, how many books have you read? How many books have you read? Apart from your school book is one. Some of you, since you graduated from school, you've never even read newspaper or even signpost. How do you want to? You must be putting things into it. That's why the they are talking about some things and you look so confused because you don't know anything. Everybody's talking about Bitcoin now, Bitcoin. You don't even know a thing about it. I wanted to tell somebody, what coin do you want to buy? So I want to buy, yes, it's even close. So I want to buy crypto coin. What are you doing? That's what I've not heard. I said, this thing's online. What happens to reading? Who is following me? And I don't believe in many things that they do in generation. I just need to know them. I just smile. They're not saying NFT. Do you know what that one means? Nigerian football. You see, develop yourself. You know, I like what Brevan said. And they were saying, that is not correct. Well, that is me. If you are not smart, you can't talk. Listen, I don't know how you manage. How do you keep dull people around you? How do you cope with such people? I'm not talking about having a 2-1 or first class. Your head should be working. Read books. Get books on leadership. Get books on business. Get books on... Know something. There are people that when you engage, 3 minutes is enough to know that this one said it's not empty. You know, if you talk to me, there is hardly anything you bring that I don't have an answer to. As any area of life. Because my brain is working. I'm not just wasting my time. If you see my library, you know my brain is working. Do you even have a library? Let's even start from there. Have you read any book this year? Like started a book and finished it this year? I'm talking to you in particular. Any book at all? What are you doing with your time of singlehood? You are looking for man. No. You don't spend your time as a single looking for relationship. You develop yourself. Talk of spiritually too. Develop yourself spiritually. Have some spiritual growth plans that you are making. Do you read your Bible? Do you even have a Bible? Do you pray? Do you study your books? Do you grow spiritually? Are you adding anything to your spiritual life? Are you committed to church? What are you doing? So I say train your head. That's intellectual, whatever. Training of the heart talks about emotional intelligence and the rest of them. Training of the hand talks about skills. If you're in Nigeria and you don't have any particular skill, whether it is soft skill or anything, you see, you are an accident waiting to happen. You should be able to know what can you do. Some of you are students now. There is strike. What are you doing? You wake up in the morning, sleep. Come on Facebook and comment. And it is this period that many people will get into foolish, stupid relationships. You know why? They are idle. Normally, a guy you don't have hard time to respond to. You're not doing anything now. So you're now talking. Morning to night. Night to morning. It's not going anywhere. Why won't you be doing anything? Get yourself busy. What's your hand doing? What can you do? Amen? You see, if you're in a platform of grace and you are broke, like broke, and you've been here for some time, you are ignoring what God is putting in your hands. This place is filled with people that are very, very skilled. Are you getting me? There are 2-3 people you can meet in this church. In 3 weeks, you are earning. And I'm not talking about earning. You are earning in dollars. And I hear. We have some of the strongest crypto-based growing companies from this church. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? But you don't want to know. You are looking around. Nobody will find you. So develop yourself. It's a terrible mistake. Because develop yourself spiritually, intellectually, and all that. So invest in yourself with the days of your singlehood. Amen. The third mistake that singles make, I'm getting to it, begins to matter, is spending their time of singleness or singlehood without building healthy relationships. I'm not talking about boyfriend, girlfriend. Healthy relationships. You see, you must have, there are relationships that you cannot do without. Some of you know this. How many of you know? Number one, you need, for instance, you need a pastor or a father, a spiritual father. You see, is that one important? Well, I don't have time for you today. You need healthy friends. Do you have one friend or 2 friends? Is that not the friend type? Look at you. I don't believe people should rush into friendships. But I believe you should have friends. I don't also believe that people should have many friends. Anybody that has many friends has no friend at all. Amen? I believe you have one or two. No serious human being has 30 friends. 10 friends. 20 friends. No. So do you have friends? You should begin to build meaningful friendships. And let me say this. Have you heard people say things like, that girl is too clingy? Have you heard it? Too clingy. Too possessive. It doesn't give me space. Or he or she. Sometimes the reason is, you don't have any friend in your life. So when you finally get into a relationship, you want that person to do everything for you. Because you don't have another person to talk to. Are you getting me? So the guy you are dating is busy. He's working. Or the lady you are dating is working. When you are complaining, morning till night, you have not called me. We should be talking at least 8 times in a day. You think both of you are jobless. You should have healthy friendship. So if he's not existing, who will be talking to? Say it's my all in all. Have healthy friendships. Have a good... Do you have mentors in your life? And in fact, anybody that begins to date you or begins to come close to you and has an issue with every important person in your life is planning to abuse you. Can I say it again? Someone's planning to come into your life. He has an issue with your pastor. You say, ah, all this pastor thing. That's an issue with the friends that you build. That's an issue with your parents. That's an issue with the covenant Christian friends that you have. The person wants to be your one and only. That person is laying a foundation to abuse you. So that when he slaps you, there's nobody to talk to. I didn't get the point. There are people that are in abusive marriages today, every relationships, because they have nowhere else to go. Because the guy first of all came into the picture and took time to delete every important person in their life. Who is following me at all? So he deletes every important person in your life. And so he becomes the all and all. He's the one you ask for advice. He's the one you ask for solution. He's the one you ask for, should I go, should I come? There are instructions that your pastor can give you. A boyfriend can never replace the pastor. Never. Except the boyfriend is your pastor. Which case it is not. Can you see? The boyfriend can replace the pastor. And I see people that, you know, guys, can I talk to brothers? Guys, there is something, you know, a guy wants to, it's a guy thing. Guys want to be in charge. So, there is this little level of jealousy that comes into a guy when he finds out that the girl or whatever is taking instructions from someone else. I didn't get the point. Now, let me advise you, kill it. Because it will forever be like that. That's why you have to be loyal to and accountable to someone too. In fact, there's something I want to say this to you. I want to say to you. You heard me say it a lot of times. You have somebody that's asking you out. They're asking first date questions. I don't know whether this is first date or second date or third date. But these guys are talking. And the person has nobody. I'm coming to abuse very soon. Has nobody he answers to. Nobody. Nobody can correct him. Nobody can shout at him. No pastor. No mentor. No higher whatever can tell him, don't move. And he stands. Don't date that person. Because when the thing starts, there is nobody you can run to. Are you following me at all? You should be able to have so that when your guy's head, because anybody's head can touch, including my head. And that's why I have a pastor over me. You know, I'm a lead pastor. You know, right? I've said this all the time. Now, I'm a lead pastor. I'm not under anybody. If I did not want to be under anybody, I will not be. You get the point? I know the place of someone being over your life. That's why I carried myself. It was me like this that carried myself to go and meet somebody and say, see, I want to be under you. Instruct me. Correct me. Beat me if need be. I did it myself. Nobody forced me. It's not like I joined the church. Because I know the importance of it. So that tomorrow when my head begins to touch, maybe you're already married, and then right then the marriage, I see another girl. You see, that one gets shaped too. You say, it cannot happen to me. Who told you? It cannot happen to my guy or my girl. What chance? There should be somebody that, if you remember that, if everyone hears this thing I'm doing now, my life is finished. You put yourself in order. You have that kind of person in your life. I'm coming to that too. If you hear this one, I'm dead. So you just kill the feeling yourself. You know, they give you the protest speech. There was a time, sir, that I have something in mind, sir. But I've handled it now, sir. Have meaningful friendships, meaningful relationships, have a mentor or not mentors, have mentors in your life. Have a pastor, spiritual father, but have mentors. Have people that talk to you. Have good friends, healthy friends.
Amen. You need it in your life, at least now.
And even after you are married, you know, we're talking about bestie and all that. I'm not saying anybody should be your bestie. But make sure that in an attempt not for your guy or your girl not to have a bestie of the opposite sex, make sure in an attempt to do that, you don't end up cutting off every meaningful relationship in the person's life. It's that you become all in all. You may not like it. The person will cling to you so much, you cannot move. The discussion she should have with his, with her friends, she's having with you. You cost it. There's no other friend she has. Who is following me at all? The hunger she should have with her friends, she's having it with you. Amen. Are you following what I'm talking about at all? Don't do it. There should be friendships, healthy friendships. So you build healthy friendships. You build healthy relationships. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I think verse 9, will tell you that two is better. Than one. So you must have good friends, healthy friends. And these friendships should last even after you are married. It should last. I give you another mistake singles make. Dating or marrying for the wrong reasons. There are wrong reasons to get married. You know, right? One of them, for instance, is pressure. Never marry or date because there is pressure. Your parents are saying you should get married now. Don't marry because of that. In fact, let me teach you something. Don't make any decision because you are pressured. Ask Esau. I always say that. Esau was under pressure. He needed food so badly. He made the wrong decision by selling his birthright. See, don't marry out of pressure. The pressure can come from society. All your mates are married. It's not a reason for you to get married. Who is even your mate? All your mates are married. You don't have money. You now jump into the marriage. You now give birth. When it's time to buy Pampers, your mates will not be there to buy it for you. Always remember, you don't have any competitor in this life. No competitor. Never date. Some of you are in school. You know, in school is the worst. You know, in school, it seems like every boy and every girl has someone. Have you ever felt that way? It's like everybody around you. Now let me say something. It's a lie. Some of them don't have anybody. They're just making you feel perhaps. Making you feel perhaps. Feel although. Feel meanwhile. They are making you feel even so. That's the idea. No, because let me say this. If you have wives, you will know. Half of the relationships that happen in school, we are never relationships. They were just getting along. Having sex. Looking for each other. Spending each other's money. Nothing was ever defined. But then you come under pressure. Everybody's dating. Even if everybody's dating. Even if all your classmates, because some of you that are already in final year, it's happening. You've done Ashebi and Tire. You now come under the pressure. Don't fall for that. That wrong reason for marriage. I give another wrong reason. Pity. Don't marry anybody because you pity the person. And in fact, let me even advise you. Don't let anybody marry you out of pity. You're not something to be pitied. A girl says she doesn't want you. You now begin to beg her. Please now. I've given all for you. What can I change? What don't you like? See, let me tell you. Let me give you mind. Are you following? There is a place for shakara. Let ladies do their shakara. If they don't do it, but it doesn't make sense. I'll still teach you. I'll still teach them to do it in this meeting. So let ladies do their shakara. If a girl is just doing, call me back, it's fine. But then a girl is making it clear to you, I don't want you. Move on with your life. Don't beg anybody to date you. You deserve more than that. And you now beg. Person now begins to say, Kai, just begging me. You know, last time he was even crying. don't date anybody because the person is crying. Pity does not sustain a relationship. He said, he was just crying. He was just feeling so bad. I know I cannot marry her, but the way she's just, if I leave her, she will just die. So out of pity, you now jump in so that she will not die. You will now die. Don't do that. There are wrong reasons for marriage. Pity is one of them. Can I give you one more? Poverty alleviation scheme. Don't marry because you want to alleviate poverty from your family. Your father is pushing you. Marry him now. Somebody that has money. So you are getting married because you want to break out of poverty. What of working to make money? What of being rich? Can't you be rich? You think wealth is gender sensitive? Don't marry because you want to lift your family out of poverty. You see, you know I'm the first daughter. I need to marry somebody that has money that I can train my younger ones. I don't even want to marry you. Because it means you are about to destroy my future. You're about to deal with me. I will not marry you. But I'll be training your younger ones. Think of that absence. I'm not going to marry. Don't marry because you want to alleviate poverty from your family. Don't do it. But let me say this one. This one is controversial. Should I? Don't marry because of pregnancy. Write it. See, should a believer engage in premarital sex? No. 1,000 times, no. The word of God can never be bended. You see, but if before you got born again, or while you are still trying to find your footing as a born again person, somebody now gets pregnant, we will deal with you. We will discipline you. And really, really discipline you. I say, let me tell you. But what we will not do is to now say, now, if you like the person, you want to marry, it's fine, you guys go ahead and get married. But if this is something, in fact, I shouldn't be saying this, because why would you even do something with somebody that you don't have any plan for? But let me assume it happened. Because there's a case I've seen, one of our people, you know, she wasn't serious then with God, and then something happened and she got pregnant. I tell you, she was married. I say, see, if you don't want to marry, don't marry. Pregnancy should not end your life. I see people that get raped, and I'm saying this by the Spirit. People get raped, and then they get pregnant, and they feel their life has ended. Don't do that. The funny thing is that the idiot that raped you, the mumu that raped you, has continued with his life. Are you getting me? And you, the victim of the rape, you paused your life. Don't do that. Are you following me, guys? Don't do it. You know, one of my people was talking to me. She was a victim of a very bad situation. About 3 days, she was gang raped. It was very bad. So it has about 7 years, she was still living in the whole thing. So I called her. I said, do you remember the faces of those guys? She said, yes. Every time I see them, I remember their faces. Every time I think I see their faces. I said, okay, do you think those guys remember your face? She said, I don't think so. She said, so these guys have moved on with their life. They might have even forgotten that you ever exist. And you are living. You, they are the people that committed crime. And are living freely. You, the victim. Who is what I'm talking about at all? I said, snap out from that and move on with your life. And if there are any consequences of it, don't let it limit your life. The reason you marry is because you want to marry. Not because anything happened. And so you marry, not out of pity, poverty, alleviation, or whatever you call it. You marry because you really, really want to marry. Talking about this, you know, talking about rape already. You know, another mistake that singles make is living in their past mistakes. You see, as a single, you possibly have made some mistakes. Don't live in that past. And I want to preach God's forgiveness to you. Don't live in that past. Oh, in the past, you used to be this, you used to be that. You made these mistakes. It's time to move on from that past. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He said, add to your faith this, and to virtue that. He kept talking. He said, add this. In verse 9, after he said, add. Verse 8, before we get to verse 9. He said, if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 9, he now says, but he that lacketh these things is what? Is blind. What does he mean by that? The guy is blind. He cannot see afar off. He has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I want you to never forget that your sins have been forgiven. Never forget that. And don't live in the mistakes of your past. Many of you, you've not been able to move on, even have other healthy friendships or relationships because of one mistake you made. It's time to live again. Are you following me? Then I met a guy, I met a guy in those days, I used public transport. So I met this guy, and he was just talking loosely in the bus. I told him, that everybody, that any girl when he gets now, say he go rubbish. So what, see what he's doing? He's busy. He doesn't have any single girlfriend. He has many. And he was bold about it. So I found a way to get into him. I said, talk to me. What happened? So I found that the guy was feeling very guilty. He had a good girl in his life at a time. Amen? And then he made a mistake. He was loose. And then he lost the girl. So he feels he can never find someone else like that girl. He told me, says, good girls like that come once in a lifetime. I've missed mine. I said, you have to forgive yourself. Amen? It was a mistake you made. It's time to move on from it. I was talking about sexual sin and all that. Maybe you found yourself, you're very guilty. Or every year you've had an abortion or two or three or four. Doesn't matter. It's time to move on from those mistakes and live your life again. Who is following me at all? Move on. Stand up from those mistakes. Don't stay there. God has forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. Come on, let me say, I'm forgiven. That's what everybody say. I am forgiven. Say, my sins are forgiven. God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. And I can't say that enough. God has forgiven you. When you are young, you did this and did that. God has forgiven you. Are you following me? God has forgiven you. We are talking about rape. Maybe you are even here and you've once even raped somebody. You've molested somebody once. God has forgiven you. It's time to start a new story today. Don't live. You know the problem with living in guilt? If you live in guilt about because of a mistake you made, you will find yourself repeating that mistake. Guilt will not help you move on from it. It will help you repeat it and repeat it again. Are you getting me? Say, I'm forgiven. I wish I can hear you. Say, I am forgiven in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Another mistake that singles make, connected to this also, are you ready for this? Using a relationship to heal from another relationship. Should I say it again? Using one relationship to heal from another. So, somebody breaks your heart. And then this guy or this girl come around. You know, you really don't want the person, but I just need somebody in my life for the meantime. Let me say it another way. Using one relationship to wait for another relationship. Amen. So you know you're not going to marry this guy. But yeah, make me just stay shy until the real person comes. Most times the real person will not come. Ask me why. You are not single. Amen. God will give you a man or a woman when you are single. So, are you in a situationship? Or in an entanglement? We know we're not going to do this, but until the right person comes. Or maybe, if I let me say this to you, never use a guy or a lady to heal from another person. You have just been wicked. So, somebody broke your heart. I now come and check you around that same period. You don't want me. You just accept. Because you need somebody that will occupy space. Do you understand? For the meantime in your life. So I help you heal. You now see the real person you like. You now begin to draw back. Don't do that. How to heal from a relationship is to heal. Can I tell you how to heal? Is your heart broken? Now I'll tell you how to heal. You want to hear this? Number one. Number one, forgive the person
and forgive yourself. If you do not forgive people that have broken your heart or have hurt you, you can never heal. Genuinely forgive whosoever hurts you, whosoever broke your heart. Amen? What did I say? Come on, do you have a voice? What did I say? Okay, let me get everybody. What did I say? Forgive the person. And forgive yourself too. Even if you are the cause of it, forgive. Secondly, stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. You see, if your heart is broken and you keep talking about it, whether in the positive or in the negative, your life will travel in the direction of your words. Anything you keep talking about, you cannot move on from. What that guy did to me. How that guy hurt me. What he did to me was so bad. I can never forget it. Or, you're even talking about it in the positive. We had such a good time. Those days, it would just carry me out. You can never move on from it. That's why you want to move on from someone. Stop talking about it, even with your friends. And if you're a friend to such a person, people stop raising that topic. The more we stop talking about it, the more it's lifting from the person's mind. Are you getting me? Should I give you number three? Should I give you number three? Tell yourself the truth. It has ended. He's not going to come back. He said, what if he does? You don't even want that kind of coming back. Are you following me? Should I give you number four? Engage yourself in meaningful activities. Start with evangelism. Grow spiritually. Throw yourself into your work. Don't stay at home sulking. Don't do it. Get busy with your life. Get busy with your life. Of course, the next one will be cut communication. But people think the first thing is to cut communication. But what they don't realize is that cut communication is even very difficult. And even if you cut communication, block the person, break your sin, but you've not moved on in your heart, you are still there. Come on, are you following me, guys? You're still there. In your heart, you are still there. When things want to go, whenever you guys see again, everything sparks up again. I'll give you the last one. Trust God for something better. And I tell you, He will give you something better. Now I tell you, with God, the second is always better than the first. The second is always better than the first. So trust God to give something better. So don't use any relationship to heal from another one. Let me say something else. Another mistake singles make connected to this. Leading people on. I'm going to talk. Leading people on. Do you know what that means? I'll explain it to you. You are not into someone. You're not dating the person. But you are doing to the person everything the boyfriend or the girlfriend will do to him. You call, you... But you are not dating though. And tomorrow, the person is looking like he's falling for you. You know, I say, did I tell her anything? It's bad. It's wickedness. Guys lead people on. Ladies lead people on. Ladies lead guys on. The guy is just there. You call, you pick, you talk into the night, talk till 12 o'clock. You guys do all of that. But you know, there's nothing there. You're leading him on. You're deceiving him. You're a wicked person. Gradually. So one day the guy now comes, the guy now sees your invitation card. Yes, I thought did I tell you anything? We are just friends. To me, to you. And if let me say this to you. Are you following? If you are not ready for anything serious, why are you wasting somebody's time? Why? You're using me to catch clues. God will judge you. We're not serious. We're just talking. We're just flowing. And some people even go to the point of doing friends with benefits. Nothing serious, Sha. You're leading the girl on. So she commits her emotions to you. Are you following? 1 month, 3 months, 5 months, 1 year. Nothing is happening. We're just friends. We're just moving.
And then you now see someone else. And sometimes you even want to claim your transparency. And I'll be telling her, I found someone I love. They will poison your wedding cake. Don't leave people on. See, we don't date for fun. If we are not serious, we are not serious. See, stop all this. I'm not going to marry him. We are not talking marriage. Let's just be flowing. So after testing me as microphone, you will now move on. Then let him go after him. Abu Mofe, what's wrong with you? You have to check if there are results.
Leave this talk.
Don't date for fun. And don't waste somebody's time.
If I don't know whether I'm still going to make this statement, but let me say this to you. Don't lead ladies on. You know, I met a certain man of God, you know, I come to that, a certain man of God, you know, many years ago, he was telling me, he's my friend.
He said, these girls, they don't want to leave me alone. So I told him, it's your fault. He said, they don't want to leave you alone. How did you guys start talking in the first place? Who started calling that girl every day?
Am I making sense?
Who started calling every day? Who started buying banana when you're coming for program? Who started? Now you start all these things. But you know what I'm talking about now, don't you? Now, you guys, you guys now start growing. Who started sending texts? Jesus loves you, but I love you too. Who started all those things? The girl now becomes your last. You now move on. Listen, did I say anything? I didn't tell her I wanted that. If you have been doing that, please stop. And if you ever did that to any lady or any guy, after this meeting, call the person and say sorry. Sometimes you've wasted people's time. I hope you know this. And if they've done it to you, sorry. Stop leading people on. If I let me make the next point. Another mistake singles make is, I like what I wrote in my notes, unofficially dating someone you know you should not date. The wrong person. I chose the word unofficially. Because if I say officially, I'm talking about unofficially. Now, look at this. You know this person is an unbeliever. Or this person, there is nothing that should make both of you date, you know, and all that. You know. But then, you are not dating him. You guys just are unofficially dating. You people are doing everything lovers do. You call every day, how do you do? I miss you, I love you, but we are not dating. Be serious with your life, oh. And the one that is paining me, and I don't know why the Lord put this in my heart to talk about it. Some girls, and I don't know, I believe nobody is like that here. If you have a married man that you guys are not dating, but you guys are very close, cut off that closeness now. You guys are not dating, but he's calling you every day. How are you? Have you eaten? I'm just looking out for you. So, what time does he have to call his wife? And it's getting more rampant around the Senugu. Married people. I'm telling you. I'm not being serious. Married people. Stop it. And you save the guests. And that's nothing we are doing. Then they will pour your acid. You will not even have time to explain to the woman that we are just talking. Just be crossing May Road. Walk out, double cross you. It's what kind of nonsense is that? Wow! Jesus! Unofficial dating. I want to address unofficial dating. We are not dating. We are just friends. But we are just friends. Let me tell you one thing that makes that causes one of that brings about this unofficial dating. One is unhealthy communication. Let me tell you what I mean by unhealthy communication. Do you want to hear this? Number one, you must check the content of the conversation between and anybody. The content. We cannot claim not to be dating, but everything we are talking about is about ourselves. I love you. What are we talking about? Content. What are we talking about? Use your head, though. If you notice that conversation is beginning to pass normal, you should have sense. So the content of the communication. One. Secondly, the frequency of the communication. We are not dating, but we talk every day. What are we? Besties. And when we talk every day, we talk about everything. We are not dating, but every time, morning, I call you, afternoon, I call you, I'm about to leave in the house now. It's okay. When are you coming back? Come buy banana for me. What do I have with banana? Why sugar came for me? He said, okay, I'm going to buy it. Afternoon, night, I'm about sleeping. How was your day? It's not too much. So when you now finally have a boyfriend or girlfriend, what will both of you be doing? The same thing you're doing with the other person. If it becomes too frequent, you should know. So one, you check the content, you check the frequency. But let me add one more. You check the timing. Please write it. You claim you are not dating someone, nothing is happening between both of you, but yet I see you guys on the phone by 2:11. After 11 in the night to 12. If this thing is hitting you, let it hit you well. Define what you are doing. Are you following me, guys? What are you guys doing? You're not doing anything, you know. That's an unofficial relationship. Congratulations. They will break your heart. And sometimes when they break your heart, you don't even have mouth to tell anybody that they broke your heart because people didn't really date. It's just the money. Your friends say, what is he saying? Nothing. And didn't hear that from Maxwell getting married. Yes, I heard. He said, why are you crying? He said, it's tears of joy. I'm happy for him. Hey. Stop all this unofficial relationship. The timing. If I let me add one more. About communication. I don't know whether it's just me. Sometimes the mode of the communication. You're not dating someone. Nothing's happening between both of us. But we're always on video call. Talk to me. You're always on video call. He said, who is that person? He said, just my guy. Just my friend, my G. Do you think, let me ask you a question. Do you think your emotions are as spiritual as you are? Be talking to a... No, continue. Talk every day. Talk on video call. Say, how did you wake up? Did you make a new hair? Let me see. You bought a new jean? Let me see. Every day. Your emotions will betray you. And that's how some people get into relationships, even with unbelievers. People, they know they should not date. You have this guy or this girl. It's an unbeliever. You know nothing can happen between both of us. But you now entertain the flow. If you entertain the flow, you will fall for it. You are not that strong. Are you following me? Hey, let me advise you. If you have someone in your life, you know you cannot date. For whatever reason, he's an unbeliever, or you know you don't like him, or maybe, let me even say, maybe God told you. You know, there are some people that God will tell you, just leave this person. God actually does not always mention the name of your husband. Is this? It doesn't always happen. Those are experiences. There are exceptions. How many of you know this? There are exceptions. However, there are people that you can meet and there's a leading in your heart to leave this person. Once you find that kind of leading, I tell you, when the Lord says, don't eat from this tree, don't even touch the tree and don't stay around it to discuss. Eve ate from the tree because, of course, that's not the literature. I'm just taking the scripture, the story literally. Amen. Eve ate from the tree because God said, don't eat from the tree. So Eve was now around the tree for Satan to say, did God say you should not eat from this tree? I didn't get the point. When the instructions of God come, take it to the extreme. God says, don't sit on this seat. Don't even enter this room. So, you have this leading that I shouldn't be dating this guy. Or you know that this guy is an unbeliever. I shouldn't have anything to do with him or this girl. But yet, you guys are talking. You say, we're just flowing. There's nothing wrong with having friends. But just know when handshake have passed here and is touching elbow. Do you understand? We now have some kind of content. Of the conversation, we're not talking every day. How was your day? Let me see your beautiful face. That pimple on your face, has it gone? Is it on your face? Oh, I don't like pimples on your face. It's dirtying your fine face. Then you check the time. It's the 12. I just lose track of time whenever I'm talking with you. Continue. Let me advise you. Every relationship. Now, sister said, no, this one is affair first. Every relationship should be defined. What are we doing? Are we dating? Are we friends? Are you mentoring me? No, let's define what we are doing. Do you understand me? You know, you guys, I don't know where that came from. You guys are talking about breakfast, but let me just borrow that word. Let them not serve you breakfast in this life. What are we doing? Define it. Amen? There's this particular, many years ago, it wasn't me that handled it, it was a mentor of mine that handled it. So this girl, she was having suitors. She kept doing, I don't want. So this my mentor then, I don't know what gave him that wisdom. You know, this ministry, there's a lot about experience. So he called the girl and said, straight question, who are you waiting for? The girl said, no, I just don't like him. I said, tell me the truth. Who are you waiting for? Tell me. The girl now said, well, you know what happened? There's this brother has been around. The girl has been waiting for the guy to talk. So she's using style to push other. So the guy said, hold a conversation with him. Go and meet him. When you guys sit down, where you people normally sit to talk, ask him, what are we doing? That seems like word of knowledge or word of wisdom, whatever I call it. What are we doing? Are you playing with me? Am I your sister in Christ? Do you understand me? Are you getting blessed, somebody? Am I your sister in Christ? Are you my mentor? Let me tell you, brothers, you're ready to get married. You've seen the girl that you want, and you're mentoring her. Don't worry, you still come and cry. My office is open. You are doing mentorship. I know somebody like that too. Saw somebody that he liked. He was now doing mentorship. He will now go to see the girl and buy stuff, beverages and what have you. And now say, read Psalm 91. Study. Don't worry. If I tell you the end of this story, you will not like it. It didn't end well. It was now when the girl brought IV. I'm telling you something I was very involved in. People that are close to me for long know this story. When the girl brought the invitation card, I fell sick. No, that's not a figure of speech. Literally. So he now opened up. Say, now this girl, I want to. The irony of the story is that the girl even wanted him. Because we confronted the girl. You know, my group of friends, you said, now what are you doing to this guy? The girl started crying. Say, why are you crying? Say, I'll be waiting for him to talk. Amen. I don't know what's happening. Next mistake that singles make. Not knowing what you really want. That's why I like that question about what do you want in a guy or in a lady. Hey man, what do you really want? Some people don't know what they want. The problem with not knowing what you want is that if you don't know what you want in a relationship, even when you see the thing, you will not know you've seen it. Some of you have seen the person you have to marry, but you don't even know what you want. The Bible said, the desires of the righteous shall be granted. What is your desire? What do you want? You better pick a pen, make a list. My ideal man. Ideal woman. Must be born again. Tongue talking. Spiritual. Must be a talkative. Or must not be a talkative. Are you getting me? Something reasonable. I mean, what do you want? Some people don't even know what they want out of life. That's why, let me take this up further. Single sister and brother, You're a believer. Do you even know where you're going to in life? Do you know your calling? Because you have to first know yourself before you know the kind of person that will fit you. Are you getting the point? Some of you have not even discovered yourself and what you want out of life and what God is taking you to. And you're pushing woman. What if you finally get that girl and then 3 years later, you see in the spirit that this is where God is taking you to, and that girl cannot fit him? Are you following me? Let me give you an example. A couple of years back, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. Even when I knew I was going to be a pastor, I didn't know I was going to be a lead pastor of a church. Now, if I was to choose a spouse then, I would choose someone, of course a believer too, but I would not take all this into consideration. I get the point. But because I know where I'm going to, it meets me in the next 200 years, I'm a pastor. So, if you're not ready to be a pastor's wife, what are we doing? You must know who you are and know what you really want out of life. So what do you want out of life? Do you know the person if you see him? If not, life will serve you just anything. Say amen. What do you want? You know, there's some people, you know, some people tell me, when I talk with some people and they mention 5 people they've had something to do with, I just know they're confused. Because you check the 5 of them, they are totally different from each other. The person doesn't know what he wants. He's just waiting for the available. If you don't know what you want, you just marry or date anybody that is available at the moment. And most times it's the wrong person. Let me even say this. This is why I encourage that if you are young here, you're 17, you're 18, you're 19, you are young, 20, slow down when it comes to relationship and dating. Most times you don't know what you want. You don't even know where you're going to. I know you don't like this counsel because you don't like people saying that you're small, but I'm just telling you. Because by the time you finally put your head in, by the time you're 23, you've started to see who you are. Who is what I'm talking about? Now, you now find out that, let me give you an example. Some of you that are 23, 25, 27 today, some of the people that were your choices 7 years ago, 6 years ago, you are even wondering why you are liking them. I get to the point. You've grown. Your preferences have changed. You now know where you're going to in life better. So sometimes the time people should use to discover themselves and develop themselves and find out who they really are, they are busy jumping from one person to another. So when the guy gets married, he has 15 ex. And they're finding ex. Glory to God. I'm getting to where it matters in this teaching. Number one now. You're making progress. We're almost done. Another mistake ladies make, or guys make in relationships, is having unrealistic expectations, unrealistic fantasies. As singles. So I want a girl that will marry me in the moon. We'll have a wedding in the moon. Do our honeymoon in the stars. We raise our children in the sun. Come down to earth. Stop. Come down to it. Unrealistic expectation. You know, let me say this to you. Some of you ladies that read a lot of romantic novels, those things are novels. People created it. It doesn't happen anywhere. Tell someone by your side, say, those novels you read, they will not happen. You don't know. They won't happen. Those movies you watched, Korean movie, so. Calm down. The guy now proposed to her with a car. Hey, this is the reason you are still single. Let me talk to you. Should I talk to you? Now, if you are going to marry someone that is in his 20s, a young boy trying to make it in life. Pay attention, in his 20s. You better cut off all those expectations. Except, number one, you are going to meet someone whose father already has bar. Already meet someone maybe do a bit that is trying to go, but you have expectations. Kill off, cut off all these things. You want to have your wedding in Dubai. Then, let let me give you another option. If you're going to have that kind of wedding, marry a 40-something year or 50-something year old man. That's the only way the person would have made that kind of money you're looking for. Except you don't want to go to all this happening in Nigeria. I know there's some people that get blessed very early. It can happen. Amen. People can just make money very early at 20-something, make a lot of cash. It can happen. Some Yahoo and G. That this is church. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some people can genuinely, and God will bless some of you like that. Now, but listen, don't go and be having stupid expectations. You want to kiss somebody's child. 28-year-old boy, you want him to wed you in the moon. He said, what's your take on honeymoon? Honeymoon, what is honeymoon? He said, my take on honeymoon is we go to Seychelles, from Seychelles, we go to the Maldives. Uh-huh. Now, why you're there. You will go to wedding and tire. All of our wedding, you will attend. Be waiting. Unrealistic expectations. Will you go to Seychelles in this life? Yes. If I even teach you something. Don't be in a... I know the world is teaching many things, but I'm going to tell you. As a sister, don't be in a hurry and so crazy about marrying a very wealthy person. Don't, if you're not careful, the person is going to treat you as yet another property he acquired. The same way he bought a house and bought a car and bought a land. He just bought you. Amen? Have no value. And I've said this thing before. I'm not encouraging this. Okay? Don't misunderstand this. But this is the reason why sometimes, this is not good. This is totally wrong. But sometimes in some families, when the man dies, the siblings begin to struggle for the property. Their brother, they watch their brother suffer and toil, bought land, bought cars, built a strong company. You get the point? He was already made, even developed heart attack in the process. Lost his hand, you know, went through a lot and became wealthy, and now comes to marry you and dies after 3 years. And you think if it's your brother, will allow that lady to claim everything? See, I know you don't like what I'm saying, but you better put on sense. Don't be allowed, just the guy will take it, he propose to me on a private jet. You wish to laugh. I'm not saying you will not make it in life. Oh. What can you see? And I told my friends, I don't know why God is trying to talk about this. I studied all the big guys up there, both in ministry and people that are even big in the business world. I don't want to mention names because we are on tape, but for ministry, I'll mention names. I studied the Pastor Deboyes, the Bishop Oyedepo, all those guys, we've seen the whole bar now. Amen? None of them married even in a 2-bedroom flat. All of them will tell you, we started from one room. I am telling you. Now, but you want that kind of thing. I'm not saying you should marry a poor man. I'm saying you should marry a man that has vision. And not just having vision. He's already working on the vision now. It's not I have a dream. Don't marry I have a dream. Don't go and marry a man because he has television. Don't marry him because he has television. If you marry a man because he has television, okay, you and your husband will use that television to watch a man of vision. Do you understand what I said? Don't just be after whatever. You should know. That's why I'm going to talk about prayer when the time comes. Follow God's standard. And did I tell you that the rich become poor? And the poor become rich. They've not told you. God forbid it to not happen to you. But it used to happen. Unrealistic expectation. Fantasies. You say, I want someone that will care for me. What do you want? Every morning, breakfast in bed. It will not happen. See, you say, what if it's romantic? It will not happen. You don't even blame the expectations. You want a guy that has money. You want a guy that gives you breakfast in bed. Breakfast in bed will happen once in a while. It should happen. Do you understand? But if you marry a man that will give you breakfast in bed every day, you're about to marry a jobless man. And a jobless man cannot have money. Do you understand? Bring down your once in a while they can. I'm killing your spirit, right? Your vibe. It's good. Once in a while there can be breakfast in bed. Once in a while there can be care. But you want a guy that every day you guys are going out. And sometimes, you know what's deceiving you? Is all these small relationships you're doing inside school. The guys are dating in high school are jobless. They're just going to school. By the time life hits them, they will not have time to be calling you every day. Of course, they'll call you every day. That's what I'm saying. I mean, they won't have time for every morning. Hello, how are you doing? 24 hours. See us on the phone. Yeah, I just woke up now. I just sat down now. You yourself get serious with your life. You don't have anything to do. Expectations. Now, am I against caring for your spouse? Well, when you get to that one, I'll still hammer you. So it's not today. But what are expectations? Hallelujah. Let's rush this. Another mistake singles make is thinking that love is enough for a healthy relationship. See, if love is not enough, what is enough? Love is not enough. Okay, at least not this kind of love that used to catch you people. It's not enough. It's not, this one that used to catch is not enough. The kind of love that sustains relationship is the God kind of love. Ephesians 5:25. And that God kind of love is a deliberate kind of love. It's not a feeling. It's something you decide, I am going to love this person. So, the God's kind of love is a decision, not a feeling. There are many things to check. You love the person. What of your vision? You love the person. What of your purpose? What of his purpose? You love the person. What of compatibility? You love the person. What of his character? Are you following me? Check many things. Because, can I say this to you? You see, in life, you are going to find yourself falling in love for many people in this life. Or with many people. Do you know? Let me ask you. Between your primary school days and now, can you count how many people you've crushed on? Crush keeps happening. Love keeps falling. It's not enough for marriage. Amen? If it's just about love and how you feel, what if you get married and you stop feeling that way? And you now find someone else outside and are feeling that way for. So you leave your relationship. So in this life, you married 30 times. And that's the kind of marriage they preach even in the Western world. That's why they have divorce every day. Are you following me? Because once you like the person, you guys, your heart connects, you marry. Don't love with your heart. Love with your head too. Can I say it again? Don't just love with your heart. Love with your head. Let me give you an example of love with your head. A very practical example. So I am 43 years or 35 years. And I want to get married. And I want to get married to whatever, whatever. And I see a first year girl who is 19 and I'm falling for her. I'm not loving with my head. Are you getting me? I am a minister, a believer, growing in the gift of the Spirit. And I find someone that is not serious with God and I'm falling for him. See, don't let your heart lead you. Use your head. Do you understand me? Think. Use your head. Watch character. Watch compatibility. Watch your purpose. Where are you going to in life, sir? Will that person go with you? Don't get on the same vehicle with someone going to Onisha, except you want to go to Onisha. I get the point. So even if you are in love with the guy going to Onisha, but you don't want to go to Onisha, don't enter the vehicle. Love the person, but stay back. So that is it. There is more. Amen. There is more. Okay. Next mistake singles make. Becoming desperate. I'll say some things here. And looking very desperate for a relationship. And there are many ladies like that here. And many guys. You think age is catching up on you. I want to talk about this desperation thing. Now, sisters, there is something I've been teaching for some time. I learned it from a mentor, a respected mentor, and I'm going to share it with you. I call it rules of engagement. Amen? Amen, no. Don't appear desperate. A guy is just saying, do you? He say, yes, I do. Listen, let me share with you some things about rules of engagement. I've said this, many of you are very close to me. Guys, you've heard things like guys are like lions. Have you heard such things? Guys are like lions. One quality of a lion is that lions don't eat dead meat. If you kill the biggest goat for the lion and you prepare the food and keep, the lion will come and smell it and go. If you want the lion to eat, Get a live goat. Throw him for the lion. He will hunt the goat. Get it and eat it. Come on, are you following me? That's how guys are wired. This is the reason why the men you don't want are coming after you. And the ones you want are running away from you. Because you're not using the rule well. The rule says you should not be too available, even if you want the person. Don't appear desperate. So because you want the person, you're just there. Say, yes, will you go out? Yes, yes, yes. Let him go. Kilimanjaro. Let him go. Why are you like that? He say, why are you like that? Because if he talks to another person, he should. He should. I'm not saying you should be rude. Amen. I'm not saying you should be rude. I'm not saying you should be stupid. But now, Christian sisters, this is why. What is wrong with you? So, they're saying, do you want? Yes. Where are you going to? Yes. Are you available? Yes. Can you talk now? Yes. Can we chat now? Yes. Video call? Yes. Where are you going to? Whom? Can I follow you? Yes. They're just desperate. What is going to happen is he will just walk around you and move on. But you see those ones that are giving him small tough time, he will die there. He doesn't even say that there's something I see about this girl. Can I say more? A guy says he wants to take you out. Even if you want to go, don't go on the first asking. When we have our ladies' conference, they say, I'll talk to you guys. So, are you guys ready? Don't go. Don't look at me like that. All these guys. Don't go on the first ask. Let's go out. Okay. You don't have anything doing. Have something doing. Even if you don't have anything doing, come up with something. In fact, I know what you have doing. You need to pray. He said, I would have loved to go with you. But I have Bible study now. Now, I'm not saying, this is if you really want the person. Now, but don't be stupid though. Don't be playing hard to get. So you want the person. You shine green light small. The person comes. You take it back a little. You like your pastor. So you shine the green light small. You now call, how are you doing? And just say, let me check up for you. The person will ask, call me. Now, that is if. Now, that is, don't be that desperate. Some of you ask, I see things that happen. I'm saying this not so that you come down, start playing hard to get, but I see things that happen around. You see, that's why some girls are stupid. Sorry. A guy is carrying car. Just a guy you don't know from Adam, winds down. Hello, how you doing? You enter the car. After when I said the justice for NBK, justice for NKG. Why are you that desperate? A guy you don't know from anywhere. Because you so much want a relationship, you will meet with the wrong person. And brothers too, don't appear desperate. It's because you are desperate, that's why you've asked 15 girls out in the past 2 months. I love you. Now what you, Seth? This is your love. Love. Don't you have control? I don't want to say some things, but just hold yourself well. Don't be desperate. I wrote in my vision for the year that I must get married this year. So I must marry. So you are now. How can you even? Let me not say what I want to say. So I'm busy asking every sister out. You are just desperate. You meet the wrong person. And I kind of believe something. Okay, this is not scriptural interpretation. I'm just telling you what I believe. I believe that the same way God made Adam sleep and brought a woman to him, if you're just going to rest in the garden that God has given you and you are walking, doing what God has asked you to do, you'll meet the person. Now, I'm telling you what I believe. Okay, I've still touched some things about this. Don't be all over the place. You're jumping everywhere. Look at you, sister. In the past 3 weeks, you've gone out with five guys. You eat. Everybody knows you. You're eating everywhere. Are you that hungry? You're eating everywhere. Eating crunches, eating Kilimanjaro. You're just eating everywhere. Have some respect for yourself. Don't appear this spirit. And the thing now leaves some people, because hey, we want to find husband, we now wear shorts, whatever. So that's why you see them, a wedding, you see the way all of them are dressed well now. Let it be a wedding ceremony going on here. They, all of them are wearing the one showing half of their breast. The other one is showing tight, because they want to catch husband. That's desperation. Dress well. Guys that are attracted to ties only lead them to the bedroom. That's the only thing they want. The word "you look sexy" means I want to sleep with you. That's what it means. "You look hot" means you look good for my bedroom. Do you understand me? And they've messed the whole thing up. Sister, don't you guys even have sense? The guy saying "you look hot" is wearing a 3-piece suit. Looking so fine. The perfume, everything is just, the guy is looking so fine. And then you're wearing patches of clothes here and there. Small, small things. Everywhere is showing. You cover your nipple a little, cover your navel a little, cover your bum, but everyone that thing is in the public. What's even making you? Let me just say something. Who told you that a woman's breast is just a nipple? You show us everything and just cover that one. You are dressing in this endly. Go and wear clothes. And if you have such clothes, go and burn them. They're not even good for wedding. That's desperation. You see why I say they should come for Singles Connect? So I say, what kind of pastor is this? I love you too. Well, so never appear desperate. Of course, the next thing I've talked about is already is assumptions. Please, I've mentioned that already. Never, that's the next mistake. Never live in assumptions. Okay? Whatever it is, whatever we're not doing. Don't assume that because he's calling me every day, he's in love with me. It may not be true. Amen? Don't assume that because he winked at you after service, he likes you. It may not be true. Don't live in assumption. In fact, I've told you guys in this church, assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. The lowest level of knowledge is assumption. I think, I assume, maybe. Don't do that. Don't assume. There's no maybe anyway. If he has not talked, he has not talked. And sisters or brothers, if the girl has not said yes, she has not said yes. A girl is saying, "I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it." You're having hope. Have hope, oh, but don't take the hope too far. On a serious note, okay? Don't take the hope too far. If he has not made a commitment, then there is no commitment yet. Hallelujah. Of course, the next mistake, single relationship, is rushing into a relationship. You know, I say this every year, every single connect. Don't rush into a relationship. Time will prove a lot of things. Okay? Love must be tested. And one of the major tests for love is time. Are you following me? What is the difference between love and infatuation? I can tell you, infatuation or love is infatuation that developed. Or that was given time, that was nurtured. Love will be tested. Give it time. Give it time. You meet someone, you guys have not even known for 2 days or 3 weeks, and you are dating the person. And we're talking about BDA. You're not putting it on your status. You say my crush, my one and only. How long have you guys known yourselves? 2 months, 3 months. Okay, I'm my pastor. I stay in the office and I hear different things. I hear, you know, I shared with my ministers, this girl, she came out to see me, very, very pathetic story. Someone I know from way back. Very beautiful young lady. But then got married to this guy under 2 months. Of course, the parents pushed her into it. And the guy began to beat her. When I mean beating, the guy would beat her, but seized her phone. She was out of communication for years. I'm not joking. Was just giving birth for the guy. It was so bad, one day she ran out. After running out, I'm coming to abuse shortly. After running out, she went back to the house, and I'll tell you why, but not now. She went back to the house. In fact, there was even a case of the father going to intervene. The man beat the father, joined. Threw the man up from upstairs. I'm telling you a real life story. And I told her, I said, what was the rush for? You met the guy in December. You guys wedded in January. What is happening? is happening? What's all this rush? That's why, and brothers, I know you guys, I'm a guy too. Sometimes say we want things now. But put yourself together. In fact, any girl, you meet a girl on the street, you just see her now, you want to talk to her now. And you don't even have time to meet, to know very well. So you're talking to the person, how are you doing? I want you now. Let's date. When I saw my future. When they talked about love at first sight, there can never be anything like that. There can be attraction at first sight. There can be infatuation. There can be a crush at first sight. But love at first sight does not exist. Do you love what you don't know? Do you know if that person is a witch? You know, say, what if the girl doesn't bath? You don't know the person. I'm being very frank. You don't know the person. He said, how can she not be bathing? I've seen things. Amen. Love must be tested. In fact, there are many things that will test your love. One of them is time. And that's what I'll test your love, for instance. I don't like saying this, but it's actually true. It's quarrel. Quarrels test love. You know, when I see people dating and I ask them, do you guys ever have issues? They say, no, we don't ever quarrel. We are so in love. I say, you guys are not yet in love. I'm not saying you should have a quarrelsome relationship. But sometimes a relationship that have survived tough times and survived some kind of quarrels, sometimes it's a proof that the thing has a future. Some of the things you are shouting, I love him, cannot survive one simple quarrel. See pass to make both of you break up. I say pass. It's not even serious. Nothing big. Because you are so much in a hurry. I just saw my fellow with him and I just like how he looks. I'm just so into this guy. Slow down. Touch your neighbor, say slow down. And sister, if a guy is putting pressure on you, give me an answer now. Tell the person, slow down. If you are not ready, you are not ready. Give me some time. Brothers too. A girl is pressuring you, slow down too. Amen. Where are you rushing to? And I've taught you guys, relationship dating should start from where? Start from where? Friendship. Friendship. Casual, platonic friendship. Then we'll get to know ourselves. In the process of the friendship, we can now know whether we can even date or not. If we cannot date, we are both fine. Let me say this to you. There are many relationships that start too early. When they start too early, they will end badly. Some of those things are friendships that God has prepared for your future. They were never supposed to be lovers. This is what I'm thinking about. They were supposed to be normal friends who would just help each other even get jobs or whatever in the future. But no, that thing doing you jiggy your stomach will not allow you. You meet the person, you ask the person to meet, you guys date. 2 months, you guys break up. And most times, when the relationship breaks up, the friendship may not be salvaged again. Who is what I'm talking about here? So don't just be in a hurry to jump in. Take your time. Amen? So, we've talked about rushing into a relationship. Okay? We're getting there. Of course, the next mistake singles make in a relationship is settling for less. I won't say much about that. What do I mean by settling for less? Settling for less of, number one, what the scriptures have said. Maybe because you feel you've not found someone. Misha, I want someone that is born again, that is strong, talking, that is spiritual. But if the person no come, we can manage. Don't do that. Don't settle for less. And I've told you in this church times, I don't remember, what you want is available. And God will give you what you want. I'm telling you. And in fact, he said, whatever I don't find what I want, it is better to even stay single than to go and marry you are welcome. Okay? By the time you finally marry, you are welcome. You wish, you know, somebody said, singles are rushing into marriage. Married people are rushing out of marriage. Are you getting me? Because you settle for less. Okay? Don't ever settle for less. You don't want to be a divorcee in your life. Amen? Don't settle for less. Less of what the scriptures have said. Less of what God has shown you. Less of what you really want. And it starts by having a healthy self-esteem. How do you see yourself? Do you even think you deserve anything good in this life? Do you? Do you know why sometimes a guy rejects you, a girl rejects you? You begin to suck. You cannot move on. You have a terrible esteem. You believe you are not good enough. So you need that girl's acceptance, okay, to boost your ego and your esteem. Are you following what I'm talking about? Do you know you are worth something? You know, right? You're worth something. If not for anybody, you are worth something to God and to Christ. God loves you. He thinks you are powerful. God is, you are worth something. Not something. You are worth many things. So have a healthy esteem. And because you know what you are worth, you can't just marry anybody. I don't get the point. Say, I know who I am. Say, I know who I am. Come on, do you have a voice? Say, I know who I am. You must know. And because I know who I am, I can't just settle for anybody on the street. Not just any girl walking up and say, ah, I love you too. You just follow this person. You know what you want. You should know what you want. You should insist on what you want, because what you want will come. Settle for less. Have a healthy esteem, not even self-esteem. Have Christ esteem. See yourself the same way God sees you. Have a healthy esteem. Have a healthy esteem. Some of you are in terrible relationships. The reason you are still there is because, how am I sure I'll meet another person if this one goes? Even though I know she's not good, but how am I sure another person will come? That's a distorted esteem already. Are you following me? Have a healthy esteem. And maybe I'll begin to talk about some things, okay, as we begin to wind down. So have a healthy esteem. Okay. So don't settle for less. Glory to God. That's what I want to say. Do you want to hear this? Another mistake that singles make in relationship is not being accessible and available when in reality they need a relationship. If you are ready to do relationship. Amen. First of all, what kind of person do you want? Where can you find that kind of person? Be going there. Now I'm very blunt. Say amen. You want a good guy, a believer, a good believer. You don't come to church. We have a program like this, you will not come. When you not come to church, you don't know if you serve as an usher and stand at the side, they will see you. You just hide under your shell. Be in the choir. Join expression. When they start singing, they say, up in heaven, and they be around. Let us see you. Be accessible. Well, how can we marry you? Where are you? I'm not saying you should be desperate, but at least be available now. Do you understand? Be accessible. After service, don't rush home. Greet people. It's not because you want anything. Sometimes the person you're going to marry is not even in this, he's not even around yet. It's not the person that will link to somebody. Come on, I get what I'm talking about. You want a relationship? You say, Father, give me, and you're inside your room. Singles connect, you will not come. Zoe is coming, you're in your house. Raise your father, they say, come and serve in the usher. Come and serve in the usher. Do you get the point now? So, you are greeting, you're smiling, welcome. Were you blessed in today's service? but you're not doing that because you really want a relationship. But at least you're accessible now. You see, Naomi told Ruth. Do you want to hear this? Naomi told Ruth, leave your house. Go to Boaz's place. You have to step out for Boaz to see you. You can't sit down inside your house. And now, see, that's where the problem is. Christian sisters, you want a good guy, you want a believer and all that. Yet you go to all the wrong places. You will meet the kind of people that are there. I feel what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not in support of all this, but let me even tell you, when they say they have prayer work, come out. When they say they have prayer work, what do? Come out. They're praying. Leah Cro-Matthias are walking up and down. Shalom Barando Varonda Kateka. After everything, say, let's take self. Roma Shinda Labarandi Akada. He said, do you know when the next prayer walk will be? He said, I don't know. He said, give me your number. I'll contact you. Now, see the problem. You want to marry a spiritual sister, spiritual brother. You are going to every... The only place you find is wedding. Iban burial. It's not bad to go to those places. But when there is church, be here. And serve in church. May they see you. They don't go to the wrong places. Hallelujah. Through this, of course, don't have another mistake singles make. Having strong opinions about what I call ephemeral issues. This is getting sober in a generation. So you have an opinion about tribe, strong opinion. I can never marry people from Kaduna. I can never kill all those opinions. If it is what the scripture says, different case. All these strong. Now, why are you still there like this? And you're even saying it loudly. You don't know who is around. So, ephemeral issues. I can never marry a fair guy. I can never marry a dark guy. You better stop. Ask your mother who she wanted to marry before she married your father. You know, if when love catches up on you, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had something you thought you never liked? Don't you find you saw someone that really doesn't, but then he said, I want a tall guy. You now find one very short guy. Yes, he's doing, I will not fall. But you're already on the floor. Because the guy is short, Shah. But the guy's prayer life is mad. His study life is on fire. And the guy is very caring. Are you getting the point? And he's very responsible. The guy is always, just that he's short. Before you know, well, I don't really care about height, Shah. That's it, dude. Don't have all those strong opinions. I can never marry a fat guy. I can never marry. I can never marry a fat girl. See, if you find love, just find it. Your wife will still give birth. She'll be fat. Her stomach will be big. He says it's a lie. I'll work on it. You will not. Let me just tell you. No, you work on it later. But not that time. At least at that point, I give him birth. That's the fuck with me. He said, why? Because by the time she gives birth, you want to do 2 years endeavor. When will she start working on it? When you have put something else there? Big stomach for the next 6 to 8 years. You will be seeing it every day. So if that was the major thing that attracted you, slim fit, better leave your wife, better live her life. Are you getting me? Or you want a woman? I like women that are fat. If it's not fat, I'm not saying you should not have your wants. But make sure that's not the thing you're holding on. You want a man that has 6 packs. They have not told you that once a man gets married, he loses 6 packs. They've not told you. Let me be the first to tell you. When he gets married, except he's a gym instructor. Because all these 6 packs, slim fit, Bukwago, most of them. By the time the guy begins to, even a man wakes up in the morning, he's so sure that there is food waiting. He eats it and they ask him, what will you eat at lunch? He said, I don't have time. Then he said, no, I must package something for you to eat at lunch. And call him around. Have you eaten that thing? And you now quarrel with him for not eating. Why have you not eaten? He said, I'll eat now. At night, he just comes back and says, there is fruit waiting for you. He now eats the fruit. He now eats again. 1 month, he will lose the 6 pack. Everybody, see, they've not told you the truth. Don't hold on to some of these things. What I'm saying is that some of your love has found you. But you've been closing your eyes. Open your eyes. Look around. Okay, of course, let me get to where it matters now. I'll close from here. Amen. Have you learned something today? Okay, I'll make sure. Just very important things. One, next mistake late singles make is ignoring red flags. There's something we call red flags. You know what red flags are? The idea of red flags is the fact that anything people are seeing in marriage today, they saw flashes of it when they were dating, but they ignored it. Do you understand me? If a girl is being beaten in her marriage today, she saw it when they were dating. She cannot say she did not know. There was a day the guy was angry and pushed you and said, sorry, you know, I'm hot tempered. Whatever you see as red flag in marriage is going to be a full blown issue. Also, in relationship, will be a full blown issue in marriage. People that the lady is cheating now in the marriage, they had flashes of it when they were dating. Now, I'm not saying once you see any red flag, you're wrong. Because there is nobody you're going to date that is perfect. I am saying when you see a red flag, ask yourself, what if this guy never stops this thing? Can I live with him? Because chances are he will not stop it. Of course, we trust that there will be spiritual growth and all that. But you know, spiritual growth is a personal decision. You cannot grow for somebody else. I get to the point. So ask yourself, what if this guy never stops this thing he's doing? Can I cope with it? Because these things, you see, don't ignore red flags. Yeah, I feel my time is spent. Don't ignore red flags. Don't ignore red flags. Don't do that. And related to that red flags is, don't accept abuse. And the Lord said I should talk about abuse very well in this meeting. Because abuse is a major red flag people ignore. The guy just slaps you once. He said, well, just a minute. He said, I'm no more doing. The guy now comes to beg you, I've changed. Don't agree with all this I've changed thing. I'm not saying nobody can change, but let me tell you something. Every change has a process. How did you change? Did you end up discipleship? What processes led to the change? People don't change by deciding to change. I hope you know that. What brought the change? A lady, you are dating the girl, and then she begins to sleep with different guys. And then you break up with her. After 2 months, you come and say, I've changed. I promise from my heart. How did you change? I'm not saying she cannot change. How did the change happen? What process led to the change? You see, I'm talking about abuse, guys. You see, this thing called physical abuse is a very big deal. And I'm saying this because I know this is singles meeting and all of you here are single. And it's a serious matter. I don't know why you should be single. Somebody will slap you and you still stay there. People are still dating. You're not married. They can just slap you. A girl was trying to justify it for me. He said, you know, say we ladies, we know they hear word. So sometimes we can overtalk our mouth and they not beat us. Stop that nonsense. Stop making excuses for nonsense. Now, I'm not saying ladies should not control their tongue. Of course, you should. Like I can't, you should. So, mana, you the guy. Why are you just easy? Why are you even beating a girl? Why are you beating a girl? You won't beat your fellow guy. Have you fought with your brother before? You're beating a girl. And you the girl that are beating you. He said, it's not like he used to beat me. It's just 4 times it's happened. The other one was not even beating like that. He just pushed me on the bed. See, I don't have strength for condolence visits in this church. I don't want to come and visit you when they kill you. Let me tell you how abuse happens. You know, I've said this in the church before. What we call physical abuse is the second to the last level of abuse. Abuse has a process. And because some of us here are in terrible abusive relationships already. You just don't know because it has not gotten to beating. And I'm saying this to help you already. What you call physical abuse is not the beginning of. Why do you think? Okay, let me ask. Have you seen someone, a girl, that they are beating and she refused to leave the relationship? Have you? Why do you think they don't leave? You think they don't like their lives? Because the reason is because before abuse gets to that level of physical, some other things have happened on the background. There is a first level of abuse called emotional abuse. They begin to abuse you emotionally. There is verbal abuse. It is when you permit verbal abuse, permit emotional abuse, they've rubbished your esteem. Are you what I'm talking about? They've rubbished your esteem. Sometimes you're even the one begging the guy, please now, stay with me in the relationship, please. When you don't have esteem again, that's what will give the guy mind to raise his hand and hurt you and hit you. Amen. Let me tell you, apart from the fact that we are joking, hello, not say, oh, the idiot, we are joking. That is even too far sometimes, but then we are joking. You see, anything that will make you and your guy in a relationship, the guy, anytime he gets angry, he begins to insult you. Mumu, idiot, you will die. That person will beat you. You don't need to do it. You see, that verbal abuse is pointing to something. Once you accept it and stay, what are those words doing to you? Those words are messing with your esteem. Are you getting me? Those words are damaging you. So even when the guy beats you, if you leave, you will come back. You're already in bondage. And I pray the Lord will liberate you from that kind of bondage. Because I don't want to bury you. Verbal abuse. Emotional abuse. The guy, you know, he's just dealing with you. You know, he brings another girl in the house, or start working with another girl, and then you confront him. After you guys finish fighting, he now says, I'm sorry. He now says, fine. You know, I love you, and I always will. He's abusing you. What they're teaching him is, I'm ready to take any nonsense. Are you following me? And now, talking about abuse, even some guys are being abused. Forget that the girl may not slap you, even though it's not happening in our generation. But it starts from somewhere. The girl begins to insult you. Because, you know, sorry now, I'm hot step. You know, whenever I'm angry, I talk anyhow. Say, idiot, nonsense, minister, nonsense, pastor. After everything, he says, I'm sorry now. You know, I'm always hot tempered. Don't take it too seriously. And then you say, don't try that with me again. Let me say this to you. I don't know for you. But what is building up is that she's abusing you. She's messing with your heart. You, in the relationship, you don't have one level of esteem again in the relationship. Do you understand? So the day they start beating you, if you are in an abusive relationship, let me teach you. Stop making excuses for abuse. Just go. If you need help, talk to us. And when you talk to us to help, you'll be ready to do what we'll ask you to do. Are you getting me? I've stayed inside school. School is where I see this thing most. I thought you guys have done that problem in my lodge. The boy will be bitter. I never went because when they first started dating, we tried to say, slow down, you are in first year. And these two people came into my room to warn me. He said, I want you to know that this is our relationship. We have taken it far. Our parents are aware. So you cannot stop us. Nothing you do can stop. I said, sorry. It's just me that cannot control myself. I'm sorry. So he started. I was there in my room. I had game. I was impressive. PlayStation. You know why I didn't go again? It's not because of I wasn't angry with them, but after the beating, the girl said, Mumu, idiot, woman beater. That's how you be busy. Can't beat your mother. Can you beat your mother like this? They are believers. Amen. After the whole beating, the next day I will see them with the yellow waterproof of Trump Shop Rice. I say it's not me that is the fool. I can't waste my night. My friend came one day, Apostle Casey, and they were saying that they came to my friend of school. They were doing he said, guy, not be fighting the fight. So I said, stay back. Don't go out, stay here. They make sure you where they will stop. Leave them. And like I rightly predicted, the next day. And that's another guy intervened. They now come on Facebook and write, no monkey can come in between our love. See, you've stayed so long. Move on. There's another stage of abuse called sexual abuse. That one is after you have physical abuse. Then there's the last part called death. May you never get there. I'm telling you, people that kill people don't plan to kill them. People, let me tell you, we're talking about abuse. Sometimes emotional and verbal abuse even have more consequences than physical abuse. Somebody is abusing emotionally, insulting your family. Is are you not even privileged that somebody like me agreed to date you? They say these things to people. After they knock them and say, sorry now, you know I did not mean it. I was angry now. You forgive. You know I can do anything for you, right? Hallelujah. And may the Lord help anybody in that kind of mess. I'm not saying all of this to mock you, but I want God to help you. It can be a very terrible thing. I'm telling you, sometimes you even know everything I'm saying now, but to move on is the problem. follow whatever we're going to tell you. Just open up. And whatever we tell you to do, do it. It's for your good. Don't get married like that. Sometimes, now see the problem. Thank you, Father. See the problem at Kabaro, Batek, Ashan. See the problem with abusive relationships. I'm talking to somebody now. You stay in it long enough, they keep abusing you. Then later, after 3-4 years of abuse, you now leave the relationship. Some things have been damaged in you. By the time you get into the next relationship, it will begin to affect that next one. The guy comes to say, how are you? They say, Jesus, don't beat me. Something has damaged in your mind. I get the point. That is why the earlier you leave an abusive relationship, the better. Earlier. Because the more you are staying, sometimes what is being damaged is your esteem. After you leave that relationship, the next person comes along, you don't even have what to choose again. You don't even have strength to even say, I will insist on the will of God. Just say, well, anybody, let's just marry. You don't have esteem again. May God help you. It happens to believe us so. May God help you. And if you are like that, yeah, I want you to know that God wants to help you. Don't accept abuse in your relationship. Amen. I'll say 3 more things. I'll be 4 more things now, right? And I'll just rush 3, right? Okay, number one. Whichever one. The next mistake we make in relationship, I'll just rush through this. Not asking relevant questions and holding meaningful conversations during dating. There are relevant questions. Can I give you one of them? What is your genotype? There are relevant questions you ask. Don't come and cry in my office. The pastor, I love him. Pray that it will change. Ask relevant questions. Hold meaningful conversations. What is your take on this? We are dating, you know. What is your take on this? How do you see this? Okay. Where do you intend living tomorrow? Do you have plans of leaving this country to go and live outside? Because me, the Lord has me to serve him in this country. Do you have plans of leaving this country at any time? I get the point. Ask good, meaningful conversations. Godship is not a time to just be, what, every time people are hanging out. Let me tell you why you don't hold meaningful conversation, because we've introduced romance. Once people start touching, they stop talking. Every time they see themselves, instead of having time to talk meaningful things, they're busy doing, I missed the last night. Good conversations. What do you want to do with your life? Do you want to do this? Do you want to pastor tomorrow? Are you ever going to be a pastor? Are you going to work? Do you think that a lady should quit her job at any time? I think you get the point. Ask beautiful questions. Don't waste time. Ask any questions. In fact, maybe in one of these singles connects, I will teach on, these are maybe 30 relevant questions you must ask anybody you want to marry. Say amen. You must ask, though, because sometimes when people are dating, and they get married, sometimes they come to my office to settle issues. And I'm wondering, okay, did you not know all these things before now? I asked one. You said you just found that. What was he doing? He told me he was a businessman, importer, exporter. Did you ever go to his office? Get the point. Where is he working? Did you ever visit his office? Did you ever see any of his staff? He said, I trusted him. Don't give away your trust like that. Do you understand me? In the olden days, you want to marry. Your parents will go and ask questions. It's not outdated. Go and ask questions. I didn't get the point. Find out who the person is. How do you react when you are angry? Do you throw things? Do you break TV? What if we get married and we don't have kids? What if I'm not able to conceive? What is going to happen? He said, God forbid, ask questions. I hope you're listening. What will happen? What if I have only female children? What is going to happen? Ask sensitive. Your conversation should be meaningful. Ask questions. That you will know. It's not so that you end or start. So that at least you will know what you're going into. So that when they beat you, when the thing happens, you not say, I didn't know. 3 more stops. Next mistake. Felako Shataya Kosate Rebatia. Of course, allowing issues to linger unattended to. If you're in a relationship, I'm talking to people that are already dating or courting someone. Don't allow issues to linger in your relationship. Don't allow issues to stay without attending to them. Don't blank out on each other for long. Attend to issues quickly. I won't say more. You must learn to resolve your issues early. The Bible said, be angry but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your rod. We cannot be doing relationship but we're not talking to each other. Sorry? Amen? I don't talk to him. He doesn't talk to me. You must have resolve issues early. Don't let it linger. Of course, the second to the last thing, mistake singles make, not being accountable. Accountable. You know, I'm very big on accountability, right? I tell you guys, before you start thinking of dating anybody, go to somebody you respect very well that can instruct you and tell the person. And let the person you want to date talk to somebody that he or she respects very well. That's accountability. Most one of the things he talks to you is, sometimes when your head is touching, sometimes you're even about to date the wrong person, that person will put you in place. Sometimes you're not even about to date the wrong person. Sometimes when you inform the person ahead of time, okay, he's going to look out for you. I have a couple of sons that are in relationships. Relationships I know that it would have ended now if I wasn't involved in those relationships. Sometimes they would say, Papa, he's standing there. I'm no more doing it again. If I do it again, let me die. Don't let the devil mess you up. So they now bring it to me. I just laughed. I said, but if you can settle this issue, get out of my house. You can't after I said to come back, accountability will do you a lot of good. And we talked about sin. It even helps you with sin. I didn't get the point. Be accountable. You know, many of you, we are not talking about be accountable. Tell us what you start dating. You don't want to tell us. Now, how do you expect me to be committed to something I did not know where you started? Amen? So, you guys start dating. A problem now arises. Maybe something happens in your family or something now goes wrong. You now say, Pastor, I want to talk to you about something. Yeah, why didn't you mention it? Half of the time when we don't want to be accountable is because we don't want to be serious. If I go and tell Pastor about this girl now, what if I no longer want her tomorrow? You see, you don't want to be serious. And partner, sister, brother, if the guy is serious or the girl is serious, he will talk to people that matter in their life. I cannot do any relationship now. I don't have the strength without talking to my pastor. Amen? You can't do it. And you should not be able to do it. It keeps you in check. It helps you. And even the relationship, stay accountable through and through. So what are the kind of things I should be telling the person? You say, let's not have a third party in our relationship. Well, yes. But then, what are the things I should tell the person? Oh, you know, mistakes that we've made, progress, the plans that we have. Let us just know. Of course, this is not the kind of church where if you open up to people, they invade your relationship. No, I don't even want to know what's happening in a relationship. Okay, I won't invade it. But then, let us know that something is happening. It even keeps you in check. Do you realize that if you tell pastor that you're in love with someone, it's difficult to be in love with another person? Is it not true? So sisters, when the guy is saying, I love you, say, I've been told pastor. He said, why are we telling him now? Say yes, first. I'm not going to tell him. He said, why not go and tell him that you want me? He said, I can't do that. Well, then you can't have me. Amen. Because where people have issues with accountability, that's even the thing with abuse. I handled a case of abuse recently. Not physical abuse, bad emotional abuse. First, after the lady spoke, they're married. After she spoke and spoke, she said many things. I just asked her, I said, because I don't know, I'm not into the family. I said, is there anybody at all in this world that you know that your husband will listen to? She said, well, nobody. He has his friends, Shabbat, like nobody that can call him to order. I said, at this point, prayer is the key. If that's the only thing I can offer you, I said, pray. Nobody can call him to order. Is a man of his own. So, you should be able to have someone that can call you to order. And there is safety in accountability. Some of you know this thing. Big time safety. It's safety for your head too. You know, believers, you know our head used to touch too. Some of you that are dating now, you're about getting married, you're courting. You will not tell me that you've not noticed another girl, another guy since you started this thing. Sometimes another person will enter your eye and you close it. That is, sometimes the entry becomes too much. But you're not reason if I now mention this to pastor. If your guy, you are married to someone and your husband begins to beat you, or your wife begins, stops cooking for you, and you try talking about it, she say, get that, she even slaps you and all that. And you a believer, you will not say, I'm sending you home. Do you have somebody that you know that once he intervenes in this matter, this girl will have sense? Does the girl have somebody like that in her life? Which girl I'm talking about at all? She will be somebody like that. And there is safety there. Or when the guy begins to say, I want to marry a second wife. Is that somebody that you know that once he calls this guy, he will come back to order? Last mistake singles make: ignoring the place and the power of prayer in their relationship. When they were saying pray for a relationship, many of us didn't take those things serious. Let me say this to you, whether you are dating or not, but you have plans of getting married one day, please pray for a relationship. Prayer can never be too much. Invest prayer into your future. Who is following me at all? Some of the things prayer does to you in a relationship, or in life generally, is that prayer helps you with your choices. You know, when I think it was Mwanya that was answering, she said that when she wants to move on a relationship, she will pray. People started laughing. That is actually the answer. Because if you've ever been into someone and you want to move on from the person, you will know that it takes prayer to move on. How many of you know this? Prayer helps. Prayer doesn't just help you with your choices. Prayer gives you the strength to make those decisions. Because sometimes our problem is not that you don't know everything I thought now. So there's nothing I said that I've not heard before, two of us. Most of us have said, you know, but you're still making the mistake. That's where prayer comes in. Prayer will help you make right decisions and gives you the strength to even work in those decisions. It will give you the strength. Have you ever wanted something? You want it in your heart, but in your head, you know you shouldn't have it. It's prayer that will give you strength of will. Jesus was in Gethsemane. The guy knew he had to die for the sins of the world, but he didn't want to die. So he said, if it is possible, let this cup. He was burdened, he was scared. So he prayed. Bible said, after he prayed, an angel came and strengthened him. So he received strength to do what he has always known that he had to do. Who is following me at all? So begin to pray. My pastor's wife said that when my pastor asked her to marry him, that she prayed 2 times. For 6 hours. You heard me say that before, right? Like she went to somewhere in the school they call, all these open places inside school, and started praying. Prayed in the Holy Ghost. It's not Father, is it your will? You don't say, is it your will in relationship? I hope you know. You want to hear yes or no, you will hear what your heart wants to hear. The kind of prayer you pray for the relationship is long prayer. Just be praying. As you are praying, your heart is aligning to what you must do. Who is following me at all? You pray. Another thing prayer does for you in relationship, even as a person, is that it even helps. If any relationship that does not have a prayer life will collapse. So do you guys pray? I say this to you all the time. When Satan wants to attack a relationship, he will come in through the less prayerful person. Did you get what I say now? We also attack a family. He will come in through the less prayerful person. Let that person not be you. So pray. Pray. And that in prayer we do for you is that even when you finally decided to marry the person and to date, you've made all decisions. You see, challenges. If you want to start planning marriage, you see challenges from all over the place. If you ever plan marriage, you will know. That month you want to plan it, that's when you lose some cash. moment you want to start, that's when one problem will come from your family and say it will never happen. Do you know why? Satan hates healthy Christian relationships. Because if we can have the right relationships, we will have the right marriages. If we have the right marriages, we will have the right families. If we have the right families, the church has little work to do. Because from home, the children are saved. They're praying in tongues. They're learning morals from home. So Satan knows this thing, so he will fight it. So don't ever ignore the prayer. I say, even if you're not ready to get married now, when you pray, Father, I make right decisions. You want to marry, for instance, you're looking for, it's not time to be looking desperate. Pray. I'm at the right place at the right time. I meet the right people. I know the right people. I make a decision. Stay in the place of prayer. Prayer will fix your relationship more than any other thing you think. Even more than this, all this long talk I've been talking since morning. Prayer will fix it more. Initially, growing up, you know, I grew up in a space where all we knew was ministry, and it was good. I've never, until some years ago, I've never prayed for my relationship. What am I thinking about? Relationship, marriage, you know, taking up nations and Father, let me heal the sick and open the eyes. I've never thought about praying for a relationship. Do you understand? But growing up, I can tell you, any aspects of your life you don't pray for, you are giving the devil free hand to do anything he wants in that area. If it is your... Tomorrow, I'll be teaching. Tomorrow is a combined service, right? I'll be teaching on prosper. I will talk about prosperity and I will pray for you to prosper. Because talking about finance, if you ignore, you say, I don't need to pray about finance. All I need to do is work. You are giving the devil free hand to do anything he wants in your finance. That's the same thing with relationship. There's no pray for relationship. You're telling the devil, anything you like to do, I just pay. If you're already dating, you're having issues, pray. You are not dating, pray. You are in an entanglement, pray. You are in a situationship, pray. Nobody's even talking to you or looking your way. Pray. Amen. Pray. Sometimes when nobody's looking your way, you are the problem. Maybe you've not healed from your past hurts and all that. You are releasing something, maybe a vibe. The vibe you are giving out is bad. Prayer will help you. Because healing from hurts is prayer. Have you ever been hurt before? People say, how I heal from hurts is I stay away. Whoa. Staying away does not heal anybody from hurt. Staying away sweeps the thing under the carpet. When the time comes, you will know you did not heal. So, we're going to take the next 10 minutes. And we're going to pray extensively. That's how we're going to close. For our relationships. Whether you are in one, or you are planning to enter one tomorrow, you're going to pray. You're going to pray. Father, you will help me. I will not get it wrong. I know what to do. I know how to do it. I have the strength to do it. Some of you, your relationship, you are struggling with issues about sexual purity and all that. You will pray, Father, help me. Wherever this message hits you, wherever it meets you, prayer will help you. See, sometimes you get angry with the message or with the preacher. God never tells us or asks us to do anything he has not empowered us to do. So before the Lord will tell you to do everything I've said now, it's because there is an empowerment to do it. And in prayer, you will make that tremendous empowerment available. Some of you are already messing with, you know, you've gotten involved in so many things. So many people you should not be dating. You just have many. So, you know, there's somebody talking to me. I've seen a lot of things by the Spirit. And as a lady saying, if you know how far I've gone at my age, I can't even tell you, because if I tell you, you see me as a bad person. It's fine. God will help you. We do not stand here to preach because we are perfect. We stand here to preach because Jesus has helped us. Not even has helped us, Jesus is helping us. I get what I'm talking about. How many of us will pray? You're going to pray with every intensity. Don't take this lightly. I know some of us, some Spiro here, sometimes you used to wonder, why are they calling all these relationship programs, Seth? you don't realize that if your relationship, if your marriage have issue, your ministry will be affected. How many of you know this thing? A person will chop for house, they preach 5 hours message. Some people, you know, sometimes you get into marriage. You know, I heard Dr. Paul Enenche. What's Dr. Paul? Yeah. He was talking about a wife. He said, you know, my wife, he said, thank her for me. He said, she has never made any success for me. He made a very powerful point that struck me. He said, there has never been a time I'm about to preach and she brings up quarrel. Some people, sometimes you want to go and preach 5 minutes to when your husband is going to go up stage. He said, let's talk about it. No, you don't know. Talking is spiritual energy. That's why I told the guys, you see somebody like Aura Roberts, before he goes to minister in Miracle Crusade, he doesn't talk. They say, Brother Copeland said, because Brother Copeland was his pilot. He said, if you're flying him, no matter how long that trip is, you won't hear a word. We just see him looking into his Bible. So one day he asked him, he said, why don't you always stop? He said, words are spiritual energy. So you don't just release it anyhow. But then that's what happens in relationships. So because you get married to somebody that used to give you issue, you have 1 hour to the stage, but of you are fighting. Nonsense. Milk, Bonvita, Nescafe, Bogodimon, chocolates, Pampas. That's what you're doing. After you do all of those things, the guy comes on stage, he has empty words. So you must get it right too. So don't think that the relationship is kind of, it's not kind of talk. It is spiritual talk. Oh. Spiritual talk. And that's why if you're a lady here, you're going to be going to marry a minister. I sense the Lord saying I should say this. Maybe at LMP I'll address this again. Begin to train yourself. Or if you're a man, you want to marry a minister lady, begin to train yourself how to live with one. Now this wife, she's a singer. You're about to go upstage to go and sing. Unambitious small argument. She raised her voice. But she's crying. Her eyes are red. She has finished crying out or whatever. 5 minutes, she goes up the stage and say, lift up your hands. Sometimes she's singing, she's crying. She's not crying because the spirit is moving her. It's quarrel from home. When she says, the Lord will help some of you in this meeting, she will bend down and start crying. She's talking about herself. You will get it right. I say you will get it right too. When I heard Dr. Paul say that, he said, she has never made me argue. She has never, you know, and I said, wow, what a testimony. What a testimony. Omnipotent one. Stand your feet, we're going to pray. 10 minutes. I worship.
Is forevermore.
Omnipotent one.
Omnipotent one. I worship you for your majesty. Is forevermore.
Read one more time. Omnipotent one.
Omnipotent one, I worship you for your majesty is forevermore.
You know, there are some of you that this 10 minutes prayer, the Lord will deliver you from some unnecessary pressures. Take your time. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. If you cannot, just begin to ask the Lord, help me. Let me hear you pray. I'm going to speak some words that God has given me over you, but I want to hear you pray. Father, you will help me. I will not motivate you to pray, but just pray. Some of you are in situations that you don't know. You don't even understand what you are doing again. Just pray. I won't make a mistake. Help me. Just pray. I want to hear you pray like you know it. I don't know how this affects you, but the Lord said, I just allow you to pray before I speak the words He told me to speak. Just pray. You will not get it wrong. If you're already making a mistake, God has a help for you. So just pray. Just pray. Jesus will help you. Jesus will help you. Jesus will help you. If you've got your priorities wrong, Jesus will help you. If you've made mistakes, Jesus will help you. If you need help with decision making, Jesus will help you. You are caught in between two people. You don't know the one to choose. Jesus will help you. Whatever area you need help. Just pray, just pray, just pray. You have a little more time. Kapapare, kabakoma kana bashandia. Hona marata chakarabatola darabadoda dabadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadad place of prayer. Woo! Jesus' name. Please lift your hands. Let me pray with you. Father, that you will help these ones. That you will help these ones. That you will help these ones. In the name of Jesus. I bless you with the blessing of a father. You will not make mistakes. You will not make mistakes. The Lord will show you what you must do and how it must be done. In the name of Jesus. Distractions far from you. The right people coming around you. And as many of you that Satan has decided to mess up their relationships and the emotional life, I rebuke you, devil. In the name of Jesus. As many people here that need healing in every area, emotional healing and all that, may the Lord heal you. Find that peace. Find that comfort. Find that strength. Find that healing now. In the name of Jesus. And I heard the Lord say, there is a new way I will show you. The last road that closed wasn't the last there was. There is a new way. So let my healing take care of you. Let my healing cure your heart of every pain and depression.
Let me help you, says the Lord. Let me help you so that you'll be fine. So that you'll be fine. The Lord will give you what you want. He will give you what you deserve. You will not settle for less. And as many of you that are in relationships that you are thinking of how to come out from, things that are messing your life up, may the Lord give you the strength to walk out of it. In the name of Jesus. You won't make mistakes. You will not make mistakes. We will testify years to come of all these Singles Connect meetings, how we were taught and how they helped us and how we have not made mistakes and how we have healthy families, how we have successful marriages, how we finally pulled through, how we did things God's way. We will testify in time to come. In the name of Jesus, the help of God finds you. In the name of Jesus, the days of struggles have ended. You will do it well. You will do it right. You will do it God's way. In the name of Jesus, enjoy the help of God. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, if you miss, I will do it well. I will do it right. I will do it God's way. Say, I will be a testimony. I will tell people that I did it God's way. That I refused to compromise. That I stayed with God's word. And I did it God's way. God will help you. I say, God will help you. I say, God will help you. In the name of Jesus.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.